Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things from their experience to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited. My guest today is Dallas Realtor, team leader at Real Broker, Shauna Martinez. Shauna, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Great. Man, that's a great introduction. I love the energy. Like, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
And you said y'all, and that's all I needed to know.
I love it. You know, I'm starting to add y'all more than ever. I don't even know why. I'm just starting to say it more. I'm just embracing.
It just rolls off the tongue. It just sounds good.
I'm embracing our Southern culture. And we're both in the South. You know, I still consider Dallas South, baby. You're in Texas, and you're doing huge things in Texas. So I am so excited to hear your story about how you got into the real estate business. So give us a little bit of the backstory on where Shauna was and maybe where Shauna is. And let's get a little bit of that backstory so we can kick it off.
Yeah. So first of all, thanks so much for having me on. I really hope somebody gets some value from this. I'm very much so about giving back to the community of agents because Lord knows none of us got here by ourselves. So appreciate the opportunity. So my story is a little bit non-traditional. So actually my mom was a real estate agent for a long time when I was I think she started when I was like in middle school, but I had no interest in it. But her business partner, who's my mentor, kept saying, oh, you should get into it. You would be amazing. And I was like, I don't have time for this. You know, like I was a single mom. I didn't have a college degree. I did have some college education, but I ended up working my way up the corporate ladder and became a CFO of a multi-million dollar company here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Nice.
Then I got married and we had kids, and then we decided to have a kid together. And after we had our child together, I just said, you know what? Like, I don't think I want to work 60 hours a week for somebody else building their legacy. What if I took this work ethic and put it into myself? What could we accomplish? And so I ended up getting my real estate license. I took the test, passed it. And my husband actually joined me. So he left his job at Microsoft. And so my husband and I run our team together. I've been licensed 11 years this month, and 8 years of that, I've been a full-time agent. So for 3 years, I was a part-time agent doing real estate on the side while I was still doing my CFO job. And that's kind of what made me want to go into real estate full-time, is I thought, if I could do this many transactions as a part-time agent, which is more than what most full-time agents do, like what could I do if I really focused on this and put some effort behind it, and then had no idea it would become what it has today?
I love that. Yeah. So take us back to that moment where you decided, okay, now I'm going to kind of go with this part-time thing and I'm going to kind of go full-time. Take us to that moment right there where you went full-time, and what did that look like for you and your family?
It was scary because at the time, my husband had left his job and had started running my back office, because that's more his thing, is systems and computers. So when I left my corporate job that was, you know, paying me a hefty salary and paying our house payment, my car payment, our insurance for our daughters, like everything was included as part of that package. I mean, it was a huge leap of faith, and it was very scary. Because, you know, like I knew I wanted to do well, but I didn't know how to get from point A to point B. And so one of the things that I did very early on was I hired a business coach, which, not a plug for any business coaches out there, but I think that it's very important to, if you can find an amazing business coach that will get you where you want to go, that's a vital thing to do. I've had multiple business coaches. I still have business coaches to this day. And so I just like leaned in on them because I knew that they would help me get where I wanted to go faster, and it would cost me less money and less time because somebody's already done it better than me. I grew up doing competitive sports. I always had coaches my whole life. So I figured, why not just take that principle and put it into my business, which I did. And because of that, I actually, so I ended up signing up with Tom Ferry's organization, which is amazing. And so the first event I ever went to was his summit event. And at this time it was in September. Now it's in August, but it was in September. And before the session starts every morning, you can do Q&A with Tom. He'll be on the stage and they'll throw the microphone around and you can ask questions and he'll answer it, right? And so there's like 5,000 plus agents, no big deal. And somehow I ended up getting the microphone because they didn't know any better. And so they gave it to me and I said, hey, what would you do, or what would you say for an agent who wants to take a buyer-based business and flip it to a listing-based business? Because what I've been hearing for the last couple of days at Summit was you need to be a listing agent because listings last, right? And you can leverage them to get, you know, more leads. And but I'd only done two listings up to that point. It was people that I knew. I was taking cell phone pictures. It was really bad. It was very cringe. He said, I bet you $5,000 you can't go on 100 listing appointments between now and the end of the year. And I'm very competitive. So I'm like, I'll take that bet. And so I did. And then I had to figure out how to do it. And I was like, okay, this is before ChatGPT, by the way, people. All I had was Google. So I literally just went, okay, I got to figure this out. I mean, what's funny is I had somebody ask me recently, they said, oh, you didn't get like a plan from Tom on like how to do this? And I go, no. And they said, oh, I thought the whole time, like he'd set you up on a plan. I was like, no, I didn't ask one question from that guy. You know, I literally just said, okay, I'm going to go do it. And I did it. And so long story short, I went on 101 listing appointments in 3.5 months. I got 20 listings, which is not great, but I learned a lot of lessons along the way. And I will say 100% because of that challenge, my life has been changed forever. And now I'm a top listing agent in my market. I'm actually the number one agent in my market. And I run a SEAL team, which is extremely profitable. And that's just the beginning of kind of what we're doing in our real estate business. So life changing doesn't even begin to describe doing that challenge.
I love that. That's so encouraging. I love that. You know, just a step out in faith or telling you, you can't do something. Like if you want me to do something, just tell me I can't do it.
Yeah.
Just tell me.
I'll do it twice.
Exactly. Tell me I can't do it. So I love the motivation and I love that they challenged you with that. But the reason I think you got that right is you showed up at the summit. The universe doesn't reward you unless you show up. So I love that you first of all showed up. And I think that's what a lot of realtors need to understand as they look at, you know, Shauna's level 10 or, you know, high level of where her career is right now. But it started by you showing up and it started by you taking a challenge and taking on something that no one else or you didn't even know if it was possible for you, but you said, I'm going to go all in and give it a shot. So I absolutely love that about that challenge. So I want to expand a little bit on that challenge because what lessons, I guess, because you said you got, 20 listings out of that. What lessons did you take away from that 100 listing challenge? And then also I want to hear, like, how did you even find all these people? So go there for us and give us a little bit of the background because I'm super curious about that.
Yeah. So some of the things that I've learned that I still carry into my business today is I have learned the difference between being busy versus being productive. And agents have a really bad habit of like, they'll fill their calendar up with all this meaningless stuff that they, you know, like doesn't do anything for their business. It literally just makes them look like they're busy. But when I did that first getting into the business, I started realizing, man, I'm working 12 or 13 hours a day, but like I'm not adding anything to my pipeline. I'm not getting any more deals in a contract. Like obviously what I'm doing is not working. So I learned immediately that I had to focus on the money-making activities. And if I stayed consistent, so consistency along with the activities you need to be doing every day in your business, that's what moves the needle. And what people don't like is they don't like that because it's boring, right? It's the same thing every day. But what they don't realize is these are basic staples in your real estate business that you have to have that's a good foundation because that's where everything comes from. That comes from your daily activities and your discipline. And there's gonna be so many days you don't want to get up and do what you need to do. But I wake up every day and I think I'm unemployed today. Like I have to get employed today. I usually like to get employed a couple times that day, you know? And so I just look at things from a different standpoint. And I had a bunch of people ask me, you know, how do you stay motivated when you don't want to do it? And I was like, well, because motivation sucks, you know, you have to stay disciplined. I said, but I looked at everything as like a dollar amount activity. So like when I set an appointment, it was a $10,000 an hour activity. And so for me, because at the time that was like our average price point commission was, now it's higher. But so now it's, I have even more incentive to do it now because, you know, now it's a $15,000 to $20,000 an hour activity for me. And so I looked at it like that and I thought, I'm not going to wake up and not go make $20,000 today. Like, am I going to turn to my kids and say, you know what, your mom didn't feel like working today. I decided not to make any money. Like that's not going to happen, right? So I learned that. I also learned in that challenge, which is kind of a side piece of this, but I learned to include my family in my goals and what I was accomplishing and what I was trying to do, because then it became like a whole family thing that we were doing. You know, it was like all they saw was I was working like crazy. They didn't know why. And so, you know, they would, you know, get upset, you know, oh, mom's not available. And so when I said, hey, listen, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. And when I do, like, we're all going to celebrate together as a family. You want accountability in your life? You tell your kids. You tell your kids what you want to do or something you shouldn't eat or something. And trust me when I say you'll have more accountability than you ever, ever want to have in your life. And that's what happened to my family. But it also gave us a sense of like connection together as well. So it's been really cool because now my kids understand they grew up in this life, you know, so now they understand what it is. But none of my kids want to be in real estate because they're like, I see what you do. And, you know, I'm like, well, not everybody has to be like me, right? So the things I learned was just like staying productive versus being busy. I always want to feed my pipeline. So I'm always adding people to my pipeline. I stay educated. Like I want to make sure that I know the most amount of information that I can in the business that I'm in because it's literally my job. And so when I talk with people and they say, wow, like we've talked to a lot of agents and not one person has talked to us about like what you just said. And I'm like, well, that's the issue is too many people are licensed and not educated. And that's a really bad place to be. I think if you just stick with those few things and pick just a couple lead sources, I think a problem with agents is they want, everybody's after the shiny bullet, like, oh, the next new thing, you know, and they're always trying to buy things that takes away from them having to work. And let me tell you something, I did that. And I always tell people, do better than me. I did that. I've tested it. It does not work. Work works. And just getting in there every single day. And the person with the most conversations wins. So put yourself in a position where you're having conversations every day. And trust me when I say there's no way you will not close deals. If you just focus on those things, stop thinking you need 15 different lead sources. In fact, when I got with one of my coaches, he said, how many lead sources do you have? And I got on the call I got 13 lead sources. And he goes, he goes, let's go through those. And, you know, I track and measure because that's important too. So I was tracking and he's like, you're getting like one or two from this one, a couple from this one. He's like, but these four or five lead sources, that's where you're getting all your business. Like you're going to get rid of all the other ones and you're going to work these four lead sources. And he's like, and you're going to go deeper. And I was like, okay. You know, didn't even think about it like that. And when I did that, I felt like a weight got lifted off of me because now I could just focus on those few things. And even today, like I was talking with my agent yesterday in training and I said, look, I'm going back to basics. Like I know what works for me. What works for me is social media, open houses, and past clients. And I said, so I need to stop focusing on all this other stuff that I'm trying to focus on and really just go back to basics and focus on that. And even with somebody who sells 100 homes a year on average, like I'm on track to do 100 this year, personally, I'm going to be doing 3 to 4 open houses every single week because I know that's what moves the needle in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend in our market too, here in Baton Rouge, and he's a good friend and he was on our podcast as well. And he's done 100 houses a year for the last 25 years, I think like that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have social media. So I really dove deep with him. I was like, dude, Scott, how did you get to the point where you're selling 100 houses a year? And he's like, man, I just doubled down on my people. That's all he does all day is call his people. Call. And it's like all these realtors, I agree with you. They're constantly searching for the next thing. Is it TikTok? Is it YouTube? Or is it Instagram? Is it whatever it is? So they fly around all day and they never really do anything at the end of the day. And that's like why I'm like, man, like there's proven paths that have worked since we started selling real estate, since the first home was sold. And don't ignore the proven paths that actually work these days. And that's why you're seeing a lot more realtors.
Well, and spoiler alert, like any of those lead sources work, but are you committed to working them consistently? If you're just going to be like, well, I posted something and I didn't get a lead from it, or I didn't get anybody reach out to me, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, you can't do that. You have to be consistent in whatever it is that you do. And what's interesting is I watch podcasts, I listen to them, I read books. I'm always ingesting some sort of information. And what's interesting is if you see how those people became successful, when people ask them how they became successful, consistency is always in that. Whatever it is that they were doing, they were consistent at it. I can guarantee if you sit at a corner with a sign in your hand, if you do it every single day, you'll get business from it. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's about doing it consistently and becoming like the best at doing that in your market.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And one of my favorite books is Compound Effect. I read it usually once a year or sometimes even twice a year, just to kind of, because it speaks to me differently in different ways. But talk to us a little bit about what is your, if you had no other lead sources at all, like what are you doubling down on? Like if you had to just pick one, Shauna has one to run for the rest of your career, what are you doing?
If I had to pick one, it would be open houses.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because what people don't understand about open houses is it's not so much you're marketing the property to get buyers. Yes, of course you are. But really, if you market it correctly and you do a good job, you actually are marketing to the sellers in that area. So you're actually picking up listing leads, which will automatically get you buyer leads. You can leverage a listing way more than you can leverage a buyer.
Right.
You know, once you close that buyer, unless they refer business to you, like that's kind of done. But a listing, I mean, you can get 3 or 4 deals off of every listing if you're doing what you need to do. And here's what, if you focus on open houses, and this is why I say this. One, it's a free lead source, basically. It's all about just sweat equity. Open houses, you get out of it what you put into it. So when people say, oh, I don't get anything from open houses and they don't work, I would challenge them to say, show me your process. Show me your checklist of the things that you did, because I can guarantee you 99% of the agents are putting it in the MLS, putting a sign in the yard, and then upset because they didn't get anything from it, from the effort they didn't put in. Like, you can't get upset with that, right? But here's the thing is, it takes me a week to prep for an open house. Like, I have an open house tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, and I started prepping for it 2 days ago. And so I don't just show and put a sign in the yard. Like, we're not in that market anymore. You have to be very intentional. And here's the thing is, if you do, like, I have an open house checklist because that's my number one lead source when I was doing the 100 listing appointment challenge and along with expireds. And here's the thing is, by doing the activities that you need to do to market that open house, you're prospecting by accident.
Yeah.
So you're killing two birds with one stone. So that's why I think open houses are such a good lead source, because you can get belly to belly with other neighbors. They start to see you, you start being very familiar. You start being like the face of the neighborhood. And then the other thing is, you know, you can get buyers in there. And those buyers that are looking right now in this market, like, you don't need 50 people to come to an open house. Like, I was telling my agent yesterday, you need like 4, and like 3 of them need to sign in with their information. And you need to get permission to reach out to them, obviously, with the new laws and changes. But if you can do that, like, my goal was to get one deal from every open house that I did. And I used to do one every single weekend. And so I would get 4 in a month, which was great, right, for most agents. But now I'm at the point where, like, I like to keep 10 to 12 pending at all times. So that's what I think people don't understand is, whatever lead source you're going to do, you can be successful, but you have to be consistent in what you're doing. And open houses just, it kills two birds with one stone for me. So it's like, why would I not just want to focus on that?
Yeah, agreed. And I think that when you do those extra efforts ahead of time for the open house, like, you get the opportunities even if nobody shows up to the open house. And I think realtors define an open house success by whether or not somebody comes through the door. And for me, like, I've won so many listings just by making calls and having connections with neighbors around an open house that nobody came to. So it's like, I feel like realtors just, they look at open houses as the litmus test is whether or not they made a connection at the open house. I'm like, that's the wrong way to think about it. It's the efforts that you're putting in on the front end that connect you with other neighbors and opportunities. So totally true. And even this past week on Friday, this last Friday, I closed a deal where the buyer came to the open house, which is so rare. It was my listing, right? Like, it's usually never the house that they show up to that they actually buy. But this one was one they actually showed up to and they bought it, which I love it. And it was an amazing experience and, you know, a great situation and a great deal to get both sides
of time.
I agree with you. Open houses are a great opportunity for realtors right now because there are a lot of buyers these days with the buyer agency thing. They're not signing these buyer agency agreements. They're just showing up to open houses. And it's a really great lead source. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. New agents, experienced agents, just get it out on your calendar. Shauna, how do you select the house that you do the open house at?
God, that's such a great question. So when I first got into business, I'm like most agents. I signed with a brokerage and they were like, okay, go out and sell some houses and good luck, right? And nobody said like, do this or don't do that. Or like, I was literally out there by myself. So I thought, oh, I'll just do open houses. And so I would get on the MLS and I would see a house to hit the market on like Thursday.
Right.
And I would reach out to multiple agents and say, hey, I'm looking to do an open house this weekend. Like, would, you know, are you hosting one or would you allow me to host it? And which I still think is a great idea to do this today. But what I think is not a good idea is to do it in a market that you don't actually want to service. Because, for instance, I started doing that. I built my business doing open houses in an area that I used to live in, which is 45 minutes from me. So guess where most of my business is now whenever they want to sell their house? It's 45 minutes from me. And now I'm to a point where, like, if I get a listing there, then I'm going to be marketing there, which means I'm going to get more business there. It's like, I can't get out of it. So if you're going to start using this as a lead source, you need to pick the area that you want to work. It's a great way for you to level up in your price point because you could work the higher end listings. You know, let's say you, in our market, you know, 450 is around the 423, I think is the average price point in DFW. If you want to work 700,000 and up, just start hosting open houses in those neighborhoods. And then you get to know the neighbors and you get to know buyers. And here's the thing is when you do that, most of those buyers have to sell a house to buy that house because of the price. You can potentially get both sides, right? So I think having that is really important. I think if you're hosting it for someone else, it either needs to be on the market first thing that weekend is the first weekend, or it needs to be, if it went into contract and back out of contract, that's fine, but it had to have gone in contract quick. And then if they did a massive price reduction. that's my caveat for hosting open houses for other agents. I mean, obviously now I don't have to do that anymore, but I host my own. I have more than enough. I think I have 12 listings right now with like 5 coming in. So, you know, I have more than enough. But that's what I tell people is if you want to be, when they host these open houses and they've been sitting there forever, people have already seen them. And if they wanted to see them, they would have seen them or they saw them privately with their agent. You're kind of wasting your time in that type of situation. So I always tell people, if you want to get a lot out of doing an open house, stick with those little parameters that I just spoke about and you'll do amazing.
Absolutely. So that's a great idea. I thought you were going to say referrals or past clients or whatnot, but I love that you said open houses because that's a great tool. So
75% of my business is agent to agent referrals. But here's the thing is that is not a guaranteed lead source. I can't say with definite, I cannot say I can get this many referrals this week.
Right.
You know, what I can do that with an open house. I can say if I host an open house, I know I usually get at least 2 leads off of each open house. I can't say that about agent to agent referrals. It's not as scalable and guaranteed and being able to bet on that business as much when it's referrals. You're at the mercy of those agents giving you a call.
Yeah. I love that. I love taking action. I love something that you can like take action on and go all in on, you know, so that's a great tactic. So talk to us a little bit, because I want to stick on that open house thing, because I want agents to grab as much value as you can. Talk me through a little bit of like the pre-open house marketing and activities. Like, what does that look like for you? And what are you getting the most response from in that department?
Yeah, so we do a lot of things. So one, we send handwritten invitations to renters in the area. So I just pulled the last 2 years of renter data from my MLS, because everybody always asks that question. So I'm just going to tell you, you won't have their name, but you'll have their address. And it's handwritten. It's got, you know, a stamp, a flower stamp or whatever. It's just a regular envelope. We send those out. We sent out 46 of them for an open house I'm doing on Saturday. And then guess what? I also sent invitations, handwritten, to the expired sellers in that same neighborhood. Because I want them, because here's the idea is I want them to get marketing from me, show up to the open house and see how I'm running my open house because of everything we do to show up for that open house. And I want them to think, well, my agent didn't do that when they had my house listed. Like, I wish my agent had done that. So I'm already putting it in their mind, but like, hey, I'm the open house queen. I'm going to sell this house. And even better if they come, there's a ton of people coming through because they're going to be like, my house was listed in this neighborhood and we didn't get this kind of traffic. So those are a couple things that we do. We do Facebook events. Sometimes I have a lender that will come and work it with me. So I actually had a lender reach out to me this week who said, hey, do you have anybody hosting the open house with you? And I said, no. And he goes, do you mind if I do it? And I'm like, not a problem. Because now guess what? He's marketing it as well. And then something that we started doing here recently, well, I started doing it a couple of years ago and now it's becoming popular, is I start doing like a whole neighborhood wide open house event. So I get with other agents that have listings that are not in competition with my listing. And I reach out to them and say, hey, do you want to be a part of this open house event for the neighborhood on this day at this time? And more times than not, they're going to say yes. And so we'll get, you know, 5, 6, 7 houses that want to be a part of the open house. Cause guess what? Then you have 5, 6, or 7 agents also marketing that open house. And then we always go big. Like we'll have, you know, in Texas, it gets hotter than Hades here, obviously. So, you know, in the summers we'll have the ice cream truck or we'll have the snow cone truck, or we'll do charcuterie boards, or we always try to do something big, and we have signs everywhere. I'm talking like the amount of people that come to us because they found our signs. They're like, you had so many signs out, I just had to come check it out. And again, why? Because I want to market to the sellers or people who are thinking about maybe putting their home on the market. Like, don't they want someone who puts this much effort through to their homes? And guess what? Then they probably also got my slide text that invited them to the open house through a text message. So they're gonna be like, my agent didn't do any of that. And here's the most important part is I document everything I do as I'm doing it. And I send it to the seller so they know what I'm doing to market their property so that I don't have to answer the question of what are you doing to sell my property? Because then here's the thing is if they know if I'm putting forth this much effort and their home is not selling, it's not because of the lack of effort on my part. And then it makes it easier to have price reduction talks. It makes it easier to have extension talks when you need to extend the listing agreement. There's no problem with doing it once you've done all that and shown them your process and what you've done.
Man, I absolutely love that. That's so awesome. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is a lot of realtors just aren't putting out that much effort. Like you said, they might have scheduled it in MLS. They may have put a one directional sign out on the street and one sign in the yard. And then they're mad that the open house didn't deliver results. It's so much more than that is what you're doing. So
I would be upset if I put all that effort in and I got nobody, but then just like you, I'm one of those people that I use best use of my time. And so I'm very efficient. So like if I'm at an open house and there's not people coming in, I'm getting my database and I'm calling people who have been to my website, or I'm calling old leads, or I'm checking in and following up with, you know, old clients, or, you know, I'm using it to my best ability of time. And I usually set one or two appointments. If I don't have somebody there and I'm just following up and doing things I should be doing, it gives me time to do that. So it's like, it's never a waste of time for me.
Yeah.
Even if somebody doesn't come in, it's never a waste of time for me because I'm doing all the other things I need to do and follow-ups and setting appointments. So, I mean,
yeah.
And it can still be successful.
And the process in itself is successful, right? You know, they're seeing Shauna signs everywhere. They're seeing the text message. They're seeing the handwritten letter. All of those things are not for naught. And I think realtors just get frustrated when they don't see the results of the extra efforts that they're putting in. But like, those things matter. I mean, I got a listing the other day from a card that was like received in like 2000. It was crazy. I need to like go back and see. Like it was like, because I've been in the business for a little while. It was, I had done an open house mailer and it was from like 09 or something. It was like a long time back. And I like take a picture. I was like, could you mind if I take a picture of the card? Like when I did the listing appointment, it was advertising an open house from like a crazy long time ago. And this older lady kept the card and like, she just kept it in her desk drawer. And she was like, well, if I ever sell this house, I'm going to call Jamie.
That's what I'm going to sell it to.
You know, and it's so funny to see the distance of time that card had gone out. And it was just crazy. So
I had the same thing happen to me last year. I had this guy when I was on a team, which is a very short amount of time, like when I first got into business. So we're talking like 7 years ago, probably 8 years ago. He came in through an open house that we were doing in the neighborhood. We had three different listings on that street. So we all were hosting open houses, made like a big event, right? He came into the open house and the way I communicated with him and talked to him, he asked me for my information. He said, look, I'm not selling my house right now. He goes, but I'm going around to open houses to interview agents. And he goes, and I want your information because I would love for you to interview when it comes time for us to sell our home. Fast forward 7 years goes by. I would reach out to him from time to time, especially if I was in his neighborhood doing an open house. I'd always invite him, you know? And then he calls me one day out of the blue and he says, do you remember who I am? And I said, yeah, you're the gentleman that lives at this, you know, this neighborhood. He came into an open house and said you were interviewing agents. And he goes, that's exactly why I want you to come sell my house. And it wasn't an expensive house by any means, but we knocked it out of the park with him. And so people do remember those things.
Yeah. And how good does that feel when you got that call, right? You know, it's just an amazing story. You know, it means more than even some of the other sales that you make because it was an effort that you made, that you stayed in touch with this guy. And like, that's so powerful. So what kind of things, how are you keeping up with these people? Let's just say this guy, right? Like, how are you keeping up with him? What's your strategy on long-term success when it comes to reach outs on the long-term?
I do not set people up on drip campaigns. I know a lot of people do. They like to set it up just so they're staying in touch with them. I do not do that. I usually stay in touch with people through social media. I put a lot of stuff on social media. I make sure they follow me, those kinds of things. So I do that really well. I keep it well on my phone. I use Trello board. So I like Trello because it's free and you can use it on an app on your phone or your desktop. I use both, but I can put like, if I talk to somebody, I can screenshot that, put it on my Trello board and put it as I have a card, a Trello board that says follow-ups. So I can sit there and go, okay. And then I track everything on CTE. So anytime I have an appointment or a hot lead or something, I put them in there. And then, you know, once or twice a week, I go through and I call the people that I need to call. You know, obviously I enter in my CRM and label it, but to be honest, I use my CRM very little compared to using Trello and then, you know, using CTE to kind of stay on top of that stuff. But I will tell you, like, I kind of struggle with the long-term nurture game because I get so much business now that it's really hard for me to stay in touch. So one of the things I started doing was when I have a new listing going on the market or I know it's going to be coming up, I'll send an email to my database and say, hey, I have this new listing coming up. It may not be for you, but this is the stats. Let me know if you're interested. And the amount of past clients I've had that reached out to me or the amount of, you know, cold or warm buyers that I haven't talked to in a while. Or if I'm like a lot of times I'll be in the passenger seat. My husband drives me to my appointments to be safe because I'm working regardless. So he's like, let's make it safe for everybody else. I'm like, I'll drive you. And it's great. So I'll be over on the passenger seat and I'll just start looking through MLS on my phone and I'll start screenshotting properties and text it to them and say, hey, you know, I was just looking for some properties and I came across these and they kind of thought, you know, maybe they match a little bit about what you're looking for. Like, let me know if you're interested and want more information. Like, then they'll reach, like, I never reach out to somebody and follow up. I never say, hey, I'm following up.
Right.
I always reach out to people with value.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I have a pretty good, you know, retention rate, rapport with these people that they reach out to me when they're ready.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. One thing I do for long-term reach outs is a weekly email. I've really done that well, I think. And that's talking about things specific to, like, just say Dallas, right? Like, what would a buyer in Dallas or a seller in Dallas be concerned with? They might be concerned with high insurance prices or different things going on around different communities, but I know it can be tough whenever you get into a really big metro. It's like, how can you reach somebody with value specifically?
Yeah.
We kind of live in a little small-ish community in Lafayette, Louisiana. So most of the time people are interested in what's happening in Lafayette, Louisiana, but that would be a great way too. And or setting up them to receive these homes in their neighborhood on the local MLS is another huge one, because not everybody's like Shauna, where you've got this, you know, ability to process things like at a high level. Like for me, my memory is not as strong probably as like, hey, I met that person at an open house, but my weekly email is such that, you know, I can set them up in a weekly email. I had a good feeling at an open house, pop them in my weekly email, set them up to receive a couple of homes that like match their search criteria, and then watch the weekly email do the work. 8 months, 10 months, now they're calling me, hey, we're pre-qualified, ready to roll, we're ready to buy a house. Yeah. And thanks for keeping up with us.
That's something I definitely want to start implementing, is having that weekly. It's on my Trello board to do that, as well as my YouTube channel. So, you know, there's always a list of things to do, but somebody said to me, yeah, but how would you feel if your list was empty? And I was like, I would not like that. You know, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed with the amount of things that we have to do or that we need to do in our business, because it's not just selling houses. It's not just opening doors. Like, that's very little compared to all the other things that we have to do in our business. And I think a lot of times people don't understand that you are running a business. So, I mean, you have to look at profitability and who you're going to hire and processes and systems. And I mean, there's so social media, like, you know, there's just so many things that you have to do in your business. But I mean, you could just go out and just, you know, door knock if you wanted to, or you just go host open houses and that's your thing or whatever. And you could be super successful with it. The world is your oyster. You can do with it what you want. You just have to put forth the effort and get the education behind it and just become the best at doing it. And that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Putting that compound effect, doing the little small things over a long period of time is the value in real estate. The boring, I love that scenario, is just saying like boring things are what makes the most amount of impact in your real estate business.
The magic is in the mundane is what I always say.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, look, we've already blown through 30 minutes and I want to be respectful of your time. So I always close every podcast with the same thing. Speak to an agent who may be kind of down and out right now. Maybe they've had a tough 2024. They're off to a little bit of a slow start in 2025. I know things have been challenging for realtors and not everybody is having crazy success right now. But speak to an agent that may be feeling a little bit discouraged right now, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah. So if you're an agent that gets discouraged, and that happens to me all the time as well, I have to take a look at my business and say, what is not bringing me joy? And I start getting rid of the things that don't bring me joy. And I don't care what outsiders think when they say, oh, you know, you have to be a listing agent to last. That's great. But like, I love working with first-time home buyers. So don't let the outside influences determine what you need to do in your business. And you need to find out what makes you happy and focus on that, because what you focus on will attract. And you'll get an abundance of business with the type of people that you want to work with if you're putting that type out and that energy out in your business. And if you just feel like you have lost your motivation, you probably need to change your circle and change the conversations that you're having and change what you're actually, you know, putting into your mind every single day, because mindset is a thing. So I'm happy to talk to anybody about that stuff. Trust me, it happens to me all the time. But here's the thing, is we're not a statue, and you can change and you can make changes in your business. And where you are now is not necessarily where you are going to be in 3 months if you put forth effort doing the things that you actually like to do in the business.
I love that. Absolutely. Shauna, you are totally awesome. I love that we're both at Real at the same company and we're like loving on agents and everything like that. So I will put some of the contact information so that agents can reach out to you. You're doing some awesome things and you've got this momentum group thing going on Facebook. So we're going to put some of the details in that so that agents can go and check out and connect with you on your social, connect with you on the momentum group on Facebook, and just share some knowledge and some value. So I really appreciate your time, and I know it's super valuable, and I know you got to get to those kids and stuff as well too. And I just appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to come and share some massive value with agents around the South. So Shauna, again,
thank you so much.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for always listening to the podcast. We launch a brand new audio version of our podcast every Monday morning at 5 a.m. I hope that you guys check us out on all the major audio platforms. I hope that you guys reach out to Shauna, and please let us know if we can ever do anything to help you in your business at all. So I really appreciate you, Shauna, and I hope that everybody has an amazing day.